Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity.
For me and for countless other Christians, Holy Week and Easter are times for reflection and renewal. We remember the grace of an awesome God who loves us so deeply that he gave us his only Son.
We're at a point now where Christianity is able to be authentic, and Christianity is able to be authentically strange.
What's needed at this point is for people to stand up to the bullies and then to make their case with regards to their convictions regarding same-sex marriage.
My religion as a Christian is highly spiritual, and my spirituality as a Christian is highly religious, and this is the best of both worlds.
Hello, my name is Dario, and I wanted to say that active duty soldiers absolutely love Issues, etc.
I don't think it's really surprising that this happens, but it does happen a lot. Speaking as a Lutheran pastor, someone visits the church. They visit on a Sunday morning. They're patient. They're accommodating. They kind of observe what's going on. They sit there in the pew after the service. They come out and they're polite. They shake your hand. Now, if you have any more conversation beyond that with the visitor, you might hear them say, you know, I grew up Catholic, and this kind of reminds me of what church was like when I was a little kid. It seems like there's a lot of the same words. You dress the same, you sound the same, maybe even some of the same songs that are being sung. It seems this Lutheran service seems an awful lot like a Catholic service. What's the difference? Now, that's the big question, isn't it? What's the difference when on the surface, sometimes the uninitiated, sometimes even the initiated, may not be able to tell the difference between Roman Catholic and Lutheran? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, April the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is going to answer that question. What's the difference when there are so many similarities? With us here in the first half hour. A little bit later, Craig Parton will join us. We'll talk about evidence for the resurrection of Christ as we walk through this Easter season. And then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be with us in the second hour of the program on this Friday afternoon. We do our regular series with him, Christ in the Old Testament today, 2 Chronicles 13 and Acts chapter 5, since the quote-unquote Old Testament readings for Easter find us in the New Testament book of Acts. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Journal, and author of a recent article titled, You Guys Are Just Like the Catholics. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
It's easy to understand why, even at this late age in the 21st century, Lutherans and Roman Catholics at least look the same. We do share a common history, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. We both inherit the so-called Latin Mass. So the order of the worship used in the church, in the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church, is generally follows the same outline. And I suppose some of the trappings follow some of the same outlines, and this would be what people use to judge. So, you hear this all the time. You shouldn't judge a book by the cover. But maybe that saying sticks around because that's the way we mostly judge. So you look at the Lutheran service and you look at the Catholic service, and there are a lot of the same things. The scripture readings, the creeds, the sermon, the Lord's Supper is there. Those are all the same. And you might even see some of the other things. You know, it's up the pastors dressed in robes, liturgical vestments. There's the church year and the seasons of the year, and all of these things we have in common with the Catholic Church.
And that's a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Lutherans, in the Reformation, the Lutherans were called the magisterial reformers or the conservative reformers because they had the idea, which is the right idea, and that is if it's not false doctrine, if it's not condemned in the Scripture, then don't change it. Change as few things as possible for the sake of people's consciences. So they didn't change the church year or the readings that are heard in the church or the order of service. These things, they said, were very helpful for teaching the gospel and for teaching Christ. Now, the reason why the Lutherans go to church and the Catholics go to church are two totally different reasons because we have totally different theologies. But on the outside, the outward forms look very, very much the same.
Okay, so while there not only appear to be, but there actually are so many, far more than our differences, but so many similarities between Roman Catholics and Lutherans, the differences are not inconsequential. They're actually pretty big. Where would you begin? You talk initially in this short article that you've written about authority. What's the difference between Roman Catholic and Lutheran on authority?
Yeah, when we ask the question of authority, we're saying what voice do we hear in the church, or where do we learn? And the Lutheran Church has taught traditionally, it still maintains the doctrine of sola scriptura, and that is to say that the scriptures are the only infallible source for doctrine and for practice. And so all of our teaching goes back by necessity to the scriptures. The Catholic Church will talk about a threefold authority. It depends on which Catholics you're talking to, but they have the scriptures and the tradition and the church. But really this boils down to the church. The church has, in the Catholic understanding of theology, the office of interpreting the scripture. So the infallibility that we speak of is given not only to the scriptures, but also to the church, and especially to the Pope as he speaks ex cathedra. And this is defined dogmatically in Vatican II and other places as well.
I'll read it for you, Brian, if you don't mind. Yeah. You tell me what it means. This is from one of the proceedings of Vatican II that you just mentioned. In this Church of Christ, the Roman Pontiff, as the successor of Peter, to whom Christ entrusted the feeding of his sheep and lambs, enjoys, and here are the key words that I want you to talk about, supreme, full, immediate, and universal authority over the care of souls by divine institution. What's the claim being made there, Brian?
Yeah, that's right. This is so that the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. That's the Catholic language. So that the Pope is in charge of teaching and caring for all the members of the Church. And they'll extend that care even beyond the Catholic Church and say, really, all Christians should be under the care of the Pope. They just have not acknowledged that care. So that if it comes to teaching, if it comes to any rules of the church on how we ought to live and how the service is conducted, the buck stops at the Pope. And really, while we have sola scriptura, we can understand rightly the Catholic doctrine really is sola popa. I mean, you just have the Pope, and that is the authority in the church.
Now, by contrast, you've said sola scriptura. By contrast, the Lutheran confessions just hang everything right upon Holy Scripture, Old and New Testament. They basically say, and I'll quote again here, "We believe, teach, and confess that the sole rule and standard according to which all dogmas together with all teachers should be estimated and judged are the prophetic and apostolic scriptures of the Old and New Testament." And then they add, although it's grammatically unnecessary, another alone. What are they saying there?
Yeah, that's it. That the scriptures are necessary and sufficient for all that we need for faith and life, for dogma and for practice. That the scriptures have that the Lord Jesus has given in his scriptures all that the church needs to rejoice in his mercy and his kindness and his kingdom on earth. Now the Catholic Church denies that. They deny the sufficiency of the scriptures. Which is why they have the necessity of tradition and the necessity of the teaching office of the church. And we do not. We rather rejoice in the sufficiency that the Lord has given us in the scriptures. And the reason why this is so important to start is because all of the differences that will manifest themselves between the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church can come back to this. Where does the doctrine come from? Show me the scriptures. And in all the places where we disagree, the Catholic Church will go to tradition, and not to the scriptures, to assert something that isn't in the scriptures.
Before we leave that difference behind, are you saying that Lutherans disregard tradition or disregard other secondary sources of authority, so to speak, small a authorities in the history of the church?
No. The church always has a humble attitude. Especially to those that are given the teaching office in the church, we want to give honor to that. To those that have gone before us, we want to listen to their voice, and we can recognize that there are things that, while not necessary, there's things that are helpful that the church does. And that can be handed down to us from tradition. And so we take a humble attitude towards the traditions of the church, but we never bind ourselves to them. You can never make them a matter of necessity or a matter of conscience if they're not apart from the scriptures, because that would be binding ourselves to the traditions of men and not to the words of our Lord. And that is a dangerous place and can only result in pride or despair.
Of course, the big difference, you say the one on the doctrine of justification, that is how sinners are found righteous in the eyes of a righteous and holy God. There are two different answers to this question, and this one kind of comes in the form of the negative from the Council of Trent, which actually is kind of Reformation-era Catholic dogma. And I'm going to read you a quote here. I want you to explain briefly what it says. It says, and the language is a little old-fashioned, "If anyone saith that men are justified either by the sole imputation of the justice of Christ, or by the sole remission of sins, to the exclusion of the grace and the charity which is poured forth in their hearts by the Holy Ghost and is inherent in them, or even that the grace whereby we are justified is only the favor of God, let him be anathema." First of all, explain, what's that last word mean?
Anathema is the Greek word that St. Paul uses in Galatians chapter 1, where he says, if anyone comes teaching another gospel, me or an angel from heaven, let them be anathema. And he says it twice. In other words, and it means cursed or damned to hell. Let them be judged guilty and condemned for their false teaching. And the Council of Trent, when you read the Council of Trent, this old anti-Lutheran council in the 1540s, it seems to me like these guys got a bulk discount on anathemas. I mean, they're looking for things to anathematize. They're going crazy. I was talking to a Catholic priest, and he was bragging about how Vatican II didn't have any anathemas in it, and I think it's because they used them all up in Trent. I mean, they just didn't have any left. They'll anathematize anything. But this canon that you read there and all of the sister canons that stand around it in the Council of Trent are very important, because they're directly addressing the language of Luther and the language of the Lutheran confessions. And they say, if you teach what these Lutherans are teaching, then you're anathema. You're damned. You are a false doctrine, a teacher of false doctrine, and condemned and not in fellowship with the church.
So they explicitly and clearly not just reject or question, they condemn in divine terms, so to speak, what the Bible teaches about how a man is found righteous before a just God.
That's exactly right. And this is the biggest difference between the Catholic Church and the Lutheran churches. How is a person righteous before God? And is it by your works, or is it by the declaration of Christ? And that is the most important difference. I mean, here they will anathematize what we teach, and we, on the other side of things, will really condemn what the Catholic Church teaches. And Luther, you know, famously said, the doctrine of justification, this teaching, is the article, the teaching upon which the church stands or falls. And if this is lost, then everything is lost.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about the differences between Roman Catholicism and Confessional Lutheranism on this Friday afternoon, April the 25th. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Journal, and author of a recent article titled, "You Guys Are Just Like the Catholics." We'll be right back.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel. You don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. I would like to invite you to a special event being hosted by Zion Muscoota. On Saturday, May 3rd, we're hosting a hymnody workshop featuring Pastor William Whedon, an Issues, etc. favorite. We'll use the historic hymnody of the church to meditate on the life of Christ. The workshop begins at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, and all are welcome. For more information, visit our website at www.zionmuscoota.com.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest on this Friday afternoon, April the 25th. We are talking about just some of the differences between Roman Catholicism and Confessional Lutheranism in light of the fact that at first glance, and sometimes even second and third glance, Lutherans and Roman Catholics look an awful lot alike, and they do, in fact, share an awful lot in their theology and in their practice that is good. Brian, before we go on to one of the other differences that we need to discuss, tell us a little bit about this trip that you are taking to Madagascar soon.
Yeah, I'm heading over there this summer with, I think, three other guys that your listeners would be familiar with, Professor John Pless, Pastor Chris Hull, and Pastor Evan Gagline, and it's a Luther Academy event, and we're going to go and have a week-long conference with a number of the pastors of the Malagasy Lutheran Church, and we're going to be talking about Luther's pastoral theology, and I'm teaching on Luther's view of the conscience. This should be really, really fantastic, because there's so many of these great, huge, massive Lutheran churches in Africa that are in conversation with the Missouri Synod and are interested in joining with us. But one of the things that they're marked by is they're hungry for our Lutheran doctrine, but it's not all translated. So to be able to get that stuff, that teaching and that doctrine into their hands, they really love it. And so this should be a great chance. We leave in July, and if anyone is interested in going to support us, you got a few bucks laying around. We're gathering up money for tickets, and apparently Madagascar is the second most expensive place in the world to fly to, second only to Papua New Guinea. Goodness. So if anyone has a couple bucks laying around and they want to support the trip, that is an opportunity as well. So maybe the best way to do that is just shoot me an email at wolfmiller@hotmail.com, and I can get people some information about it.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's email address again is wolfmiller@hotmail.com, and that name is spelled WOLFMUELLER, wolfmiller@hotmail.com. Now, before we leave justification behind, Brian, we need to make it really clear. We made clear what the Roman Catholic Church still officially rejects, but what is it positively that the Lutheran confessions teach about justification? How would you summarize it?
Yeah, well, it's that little phrase in Trent that you read, in fact, summarizes the Lutheran doctrine pretty well, and it says that that God's grace is just his favor. So the Catholic Church has this idea that we do works that merit God's favor, but we do those by the infused power of his grace, so that the church distributes God's grace, and then that grace in us gives us the strength to do good works that are then merited to our account, etc. The Lutheran Church says nothing of this, but simply reflects the biblical language that by grace we are saved through faith, and that's a gift of God, it's not ourselves. And to understand that grace is the Lord's favor, that apart from the death of Christ, the Lord looks at us with wrath and anger. But because of the death of Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross, the Lord turns a kind face to us. He smiles at us. He has a good disposition towards us. And that mercy won for us by the death of Jesus on the cross. That is our salvation and our forgiveness. And it comes to us by the word of promise. So we're justified, declared righteous, when we believe the word that the Lord promises, that our sins are forgiven.
Here's another quote from that 16th century Roman Catholic Council against the Lutheran Reformation, the Council of Trent. And the chapter here is, I love the title of the chapter, although it condemns Lutheranism. It says, "The Vain Confidence of the Heretics." And it deals with the issue of whether or not a Christian should or even can be certain of eternal salvation. I'll read it to you in its entirety. You tell me what it means. "But although it is necessary to believe that sins neither are remitted nor ever were remitted save gratuitously by the mercy of God for Christ's sake, yet it is not to be said that sins are forgiven or have been forgiven to anyone who boasts of his confidence and certainty of the remission of sins and rests on that alone, seeing that it may exist, yea, does in our day exist among heretics and schismatics, and with great vehemence this is vain confidence, and one alien to all godliness, preached up in opposition to the Catholic Church." Take that apart for us, if you would.
Yeah. Well, the first part is saying, they're saying, look, you can't have forgiveness except by God's grace. So that's fine. I mean, we agree with them there. In fact, we agree with the Catholic Church in some degrees about Scripture and grace and faith. They have Scripture, and they have grace, and they have faith. I mean, you can't read the Bible without those things. Where we start to disagree is where we add the adjective alone, where we make grace and faith and Scripture exclusive. What the Catholic Church is doing there is saying, well, sure, sins are forgiven by God's grace, but not just because you believe it and you're sure about it. In other words, forgiveness doesn't come by certainty, or what we would say, by faith. It comes with an uncertainty. And in this canon of the Council of Trent, and we'd be clear on this, that there's a whole section in the Council of Trent on this doctrine of certainty. And they say, in no uncertain terms, ironically enough, that if you are certain of your salvation, you don't have it. They condemn being sure of the Lord's mercy. They condemn being sure that your sins are forgiven. They, in fact, would put the Christian in a place of uncertainty, which is why when you talk to most Catholics and ask if they think they'll go to heaven, they say, well, I'll find out when I die. Because this uncertainty is dogmatized. It's made part of their teaching. And this is particularly important because when people say, why are you so grumpy about false doctrine? Why do you care so much about true doctrine? Is we realize that in every way, false doctrine takes away the comfort that Jesus intends for his church. And in this, we see it very explicitly. They'll say, look, if you have the confidence that your sins are forgiven, then they're not. You're condemned.
On the contrary, how would you summarize the Lutheran teaching on certainty of salvation? Can and should one be so certain?
Yeah, everything. I mean, this is what the burden of our Lutheran doctrine is to deliver to burdened, terrified consciences the comfort and the certainty of the forgiveness of sins. So everything in the doctrine, everything in the church, everything in the preaching is bent towards delivering that certainty so that we can sit there and say with Paul things like, I'm confident that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor nothing else in all of the world will be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That we understand faith as confidence that the Lord cannot lie. Now, this is not confidence in ourselves, as if we've done enough or somehow earned the Lord's mercy or whatever. It's the opposite. Faith is a despairing of self, a despairing of our own works, a despairing of our own efforts, a despairing of our own righteousness, and a clinging to Christ and his righteousness alone. And when we have Jesus, we have the certainty that the Lord is not going to destroy us. I mean, he who gave his own son up for us all, how shall he not also together with him give us all things? So that we can have this confidence that the Lord, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And this is really what it means to be a Christian, to have this certainty that the death of Jesus was for me, so that God, his love, is also for me.
With only a minute, this is just a short list that we've been through, a very short but essential list, really. You've boiled it down to kind of the sine qua non of the differences here. But there are other differences. Do all the others, whatever they may be, between Roman Catholicism and confessional Lutheranism, do they essentially stem from that central difference, the difference over how a sinner is seen righteous by a holy God?
Yes, I would say so. There might be a few that might be kind of on the edge, like not the priests not getting married, maybe some of the cult of Mary, some of the other liturgical practices that have grown up in history that aren't in the scriptures. So they might have just had their kind of quirky beginnings and other things. But the essential differences and those things that we really want to focus on have to do precisely with this, with the gospel, with the death of Jesus, and with the comfort that comes to us because of that.
Finally, do we rejoice in these differences between Lutherans and Catholics?
No. I mean, it kind of, you know, when I hear this, and which I hear all the time, you guys are just like the Catholics, I just kind of groan a little bit inside, because it might be true that on the outside there are these things that are the same. But really, when it comes to how we confess Christ, there are all of these differences. And these differences should not only bring a great sadness to us and to the Catholic Church, but a sadness to Jesus as well. Who desires his church to be united in the gospel and in the doctrine. So that's why it's good to point them out, and it's why it's good to talk about them and think about them and know what they are, so that as we engage with our Catholic friends and neighbors, we can speak of the differences and hope and pray all along that the Lord would bring his church into the unity of the doctrine, which is the unity of the gospel, the unity of the Lord's mercy. That's the unity of the cross.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Journal, and author of a recent article titled, You Guys Are Just Like the Catholics. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, if you noticed it, is a pretty smart guy and a pretty engaging fellow as well, and he understands his doctrine, and he's able to articulate it so that just about anybody can understand what it is. That's because he was trained to be a pastor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And if you've ever considered the vocation yourself of pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or you can visit them on the web, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu. They say that they're there to form servants in Jesus Christ, to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, we're going to spend the next half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon talking about the evidence for the resurrection of Christ, especially in light of the fact that so many people believe that when you talk about the resurrection, you're talking about faith, not fact. We'll be right back.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788, or vallofloor.com.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
That first presentation will be on how lawyers look at making the case for the reliability of the New Testament.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The information we have about Jesus, primarily about his life and death and resurrection, primarily comes from the four Gospels, certainly from the rest of the New Testament. But if the record we have of Jesus Christ can't be relied on, we're doomed.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case for the historical Jesus June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.